Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Where are these referees from? We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Listen, we will not make excuses because we don't do that on this show. But we do call out the obvious, and everybody and their mom knows, along with Stevie Wonder and anybody else that's blind, that that was a no-call last night that should have been called. It could have changed the game. So we have to acknowledge that that non-call on the pass interference in the end zone with Kyle Pitts could have changed the game. We won't make excuses. It didn't happen. We lose 22-17, but we do have a lot to talk about because, Mike, we have our concerns with this football team. And one of the concerns we continue to talk about is, feels like we've been talking about this for 5 years, getting into the end zone, scoring touchdowns, and it's something we haven't done. And if you go back over the last 3 weeks, and I'm talking about week one, week two, week three, guys, we are terrible on third downs. And when you are in the red zone and you're terrible on third downs, you're either settling for field goals or you are caving as we did with those two possessions at the end of the game last night, and you come up with nothing. Mike, 2 of 9 on third downs in the first week against the Steelers, 2 of 9 last week. Guess what we were last night on third down? 2 of 9.
5 of 26 on the season. So it's just been brutal. And that's part of it, man. You're down a distance behind schedule, not helping Kirk Cousins as he's still getting to 100%. Kirk's still not there. You know, the only thing is keeping me from going completely bananas today, Carl, is I didn't expect us to do more than 2-2 in these first four games. Now, we're going to get, obviously, the Saints' best punch coming up this weekend, but I've always felt that 500 to start the season was acceptable because this was a brutal start to the schedule. I'm not conceding any game because, again, the Steelers game was there for the taking if we execute. Certainly, this game was there if we make some plays. You and I both mad. I know I don't want to steal your thunder about kicking those field goals.
Then don't.
But it's just there's things that just drive you crazy that this team, it's close. So the good news is I see how close we are, but we're still not there. So it's almost like we're a bun in the oven, Carl, and we got to put it back in. We ain't done yet. So another 5 minutes at 350.
Good call. You're absolutely right. Like, do I believe that this team's going to continue to get better as the season goes on? Yes, we do. Do I feel like we will start to be more effective and execute in the red zone? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Now, I am really concerned, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this today. I am really concerned about these injuries to our O linemen. I don't care who you are, guys. You get two starting O linemen that potentially could be out for weeks at a time. Drew Dolman, Caleb McGarry. That is a serious deal because last night, Ryan Nuzel and Storm Norton couldn't get it done. All right? As soon as Spag saw that those guys were in there, they were blitzing like crazy. So, Mike, I'm really concerned as we move forward. Hopefully they can step up in the shoes of Dolman and McGarry. But the bigger thing is, guys, as we talk about the opportunities and the chances we had last night, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Fundamentally, I've been saying this since Dan Quinn was here, okay? And I think sometimes our coaches, they get caught up in the analytics too much. Sometimes it's just make the play that needs to be made. Take the play that they're giving you, which is last night, Mike, we were presented with an opportunity with 4 minutes to play to take points. And you cut this lead. All of a sudden, I just want you to imagine, it's a 5-point lead. We take three. It's a 2-point lead. Guess what happened, guys? Our defense got the football back for us. And then I trust Koo, Mike, to go win the game with another field goal. And all of a sudden, you have a 1-point win. I am so frustrated with not taking these points when it's up and when it's in front of you and you feel like the analytics are telling you we have to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, and fourth and five, I mean, like, I get it. You know, the Patrick Mahomes is sitting there, the big boogeyman, and technically we really didn't stop them. Mahomes just said they had a blown coverage or a misread on his throw, and he throws it in the dirt, and we get him off the field. But, and I know I argued this with a couple of listeners today, if we do kick the field goal there, yes, they're likely going to get the ball from the 30 as opposed to the 5, so they were very conservative, and we got the ball back regardless. I'm with Carl. Take the friggin' points. Extend the game, you know, and give yourself a chance. So that was one that really, and I guess I get it. Yes, hindsight is truly, you know, 50-50, but still, or 20-20, 50-50 for us is the proposition when it comes to, like, you know, winning these kind of, like, one-possession games. It's just frustrating because there were things that you could have done that were there. The no-call, everybody in the country is talking about it. I saw this morning NFL Network, they did, like, 5 minutes on it. Everybody, it is what it is. You get better, you win more games, you get more calls, or the NFL has a problem with inconsistency and incompetent refs, which I think is part of the problem. But Goodell will tell you it's the best officials and never going to change it. But you saw guys getting mugged, and you saw a lot less egregious stuff that was called. And Kyle Pitts, the guy's got his arms around him. The ref is standing right there next to the up. I mean, you're looking right at it. Blew my mind they didn't call it. That you would, to Randy's point. It helps you if the throw is higher. And then it becomes more dramatic, more obvious, I guess, for these nitwits in the stripes.
It's a call that, again, thank God it wasn't a playoff game. Hi, Saints. It was not something to determine the division or even a Super Bowl. But it was a terrible no call. And for us, I think Falcon fans feel disrespected because, again, why don't we get those calls? You know, and everybody and their mom told me, you know, the week before the Bengals PI was evident. Well, why wasn't this one? Why wasn't this one clear?
They won a game on this, a game hinged on that call. It was fourth down, and they get it. We're in the freaking end zone. And as we said, even if the throw, the ball is, you've basically impeded Kyle Pitts' ability to make that catch. It's simple. It's the definition of the rule. But we don't get the call. And the rest of the country saying the Falcons got screwed.
And we did. So here's the most puzzling part about this, Mike. So after the game, the pool reporter, which was D. Orlando Ledbetter, he writes for the AJC. You guys know D. Led comes on the show all the time. Everybody doesn't get to talk to the officials, okay? So there are just a few guys that really get to go in, and then this is relayed to everybody else. So the question was, could you explain to us why nothing was called on the play in which Kyle Pitts and Brian Cook, that was the guy that tangled up with him, in the end zone, the ball was in the air, it's Atlanta, 3rd and 5 from the Kansas City 6 with 4:12 remaining in the fourth quarter. The answer, this is the official, that's a real-time call that officials have to make a judgment on. From that angle, okay, they had that they had at the time, they felt like there was no foul committed. This is what the officials are saying. So that's not puzzling to me. Here's what's puzzling, guys. Mike, how is this play not reviewable? And right. That is the other part of this. So then they follow up in the pool reporting last night, and they ask the officials, they say, well, is this reviewable? Because it looks like Cook, the defender, is pretty much tackling Kyle Pitts. And the answer is no. Pass interference is not reviewable by replay. In that situation?
Well, no, it's not on the books anymore. They gave it to us after the Rams-Saints playoff debacle, which the Saints got screwed on that one on the no call on the PI. They threw football fans a bone. Rich McKay and his buddies on the competition committee, they gave you instant replay review on pass interference for one season.
It's not enough.
And they took it back, and it made no sense because, guys, we all know it's not college where it's 15. It's a spot foul, and it's huge, and it changes football games. It changed the outcome of the Bengals game last week for the Chiefs. But now the NFL, they screwed it up. They throw it out there like a Band-Aid. They rip it off, and now we can't review it. So there was one that, yes, we would have had the ball on the one-yard line three, 4 years ago.
And that play needs to be reviewable. And I'm not being a prisoner of the moment. I don't care what team you're talking about.
They gave it to us. They took it away.
But this is what the competition committee does. They experiment like with this damn kickoff, and then next year it'll be back to the old kickoffs because, well, it didn't work or we didn't give enough action. Bottom line is do what's best for the league and do what's best for these teams. That is silly that play last night is not reviewable. But if you're wondering, that is why. I got a lot of that last night. How can they not look at that in the booth? To Mike's point, it's not on the books.
Now, as far as the offensive line, I get where you're coming from because Dahlman, and one thing is interesting, you know, when Ryan comes in, he's left-handed. So that's a completely different, I know it sounds, you're figuring the ball's supposed to come up right behind your package right there for the quarterback, but it's a completely different vibe. You got to practice that. So that's, you know, literally Murphy's Law. We got a right-handed and a left-handed center. Well, the backup's lefty. I saw Norton do a nice job last year backing up for McGarry. I didn't see an appreciable difference, but you said it. They just got all after it. And then the play which ends the game, basically, where you see the tackle when they go right with Bijan. This Bolton guy just springs. And the tight ends, they have a mismatch. The tight ends lose sight of Bolton. They got an extra body blocking the edge, and nobody sees him. And he just completely blows that play up.
I didn't like the play. We hadn't been successful on stretch runs the entire second half, let alone probably going back to the second quarter. Guys, Bijan last night only averaged a yard per carry, 1.9. This wasn't the Eagles, where we were breaking them off for 5 or 6 yards a pop.
Spagnuolo knows what we're trying to do. They completely stymied our run game. Yeah. Just completely shut it down.
So I didn't like that. I would have appreciated it more, Mike, if we just ran straight ahead and tried to get the first down with picking up the yard. And if they stop us, they stop us. But this lateral stuff that we were trying, and especially at the end of the game when you needed it most, I'm like, that's the call? That's not a good call.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this last week. I get it. Philadelphia's got pound for pound the biggest offensive line, and they've turned the tush push into like their thing. You can't give me some imagination somewhere else, right here in Atlanta, have Algier take a direct snap and then go get one of your defensive tackles. Hell, man. You know, take your pick. Get on your Yamada back there, right behind him in the eye. And let's do our – why has nobody else can come up with a version of this? Because it drives me crazy. Matt Ryan was never really good at quarterback sneaks. It's, short yardage is one of those things, Carl, for almost over a decade has just been a dead zone for the Falcons and continues to be. Last night, couldn't get a yard, two tries.
You were not going to run a quarterback sneak with Kirk Cousins coming off of this Achilles.
No, and that's why I'm saying do something else. They know what's coming. Make it happen. Yeah. Big box car against their big box car.
And that took that play out of the playbook. I get it. But I just feel like, okay, you know what? Best on best. Best on best. I'm going to run my best guy, and we're going to create a hole or some kind of space and allow him to get this 1 yard. It didn't happen that way. Two turnovers on downs in the fourth quarter really sank the offense and sank our team last night. Despite the pass interference, no call, we had opportunities. And that's probably why it's more frustrating than anything. It is what we're talking about with you at 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. We will take some of your phone calls as we move through the show. Tonight we're done at 6 o'clock. So you'll get a chance to hear Coach Ra and the Coach's Show coming up. But we've got 4 hours to discuss this with you here on the show.
And we'll get into it because I went back and looked 5 years ago. You know who killed Instant Replay?
Who?
He works for the Falcons.
Rich McKay?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. All right. Well, that one hurt. And if you had Instant Replay last night, it would have probably been the difference maker. We're coming back. We got a lot to chop up, including how many more plays did they have than us? It's Dukes and Bell.
You know, we got to run the ball better on offense. We got to be able to stop the run better on defense. And there's a lot of things you can clean up. And there's no such thing as really going to play a guy and feeling good about it unless you win. And you had an opportunity to win that game, and we didn't. Came up short.
That is our head coach, Raheem Morris. Take the points, Ra. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, in every circumstance, every game is going to be different. And sometimes it is feel, okay? You go back to the Eagles game, he goes for it on fourth down. And even last night, there was a point where I was like, the ball's on Ra to go for it, and we got it. You know, sometimes you just feel like, okay, this is an opportunity. But then there are times, man, you just press your luck too much, Mike. And if you're in field goal range, guys, we have one of the best field goal kickers, if not the best in the league, in Young Wei Koo. Kick the ball. Let's take these points. We have 4.5 minutes to play. That is an eternity. Let's see what happens. Our defense was playing well enough. And by the way, Mike, we didn't get the best Patrick Mahomes. He has not been great this year.
No, that's what's so frustrating. You got a Pittsburgh Steelers team. Look, by the way, their defense, I mean, we're not the only team that got smoked by T.J. Watt. They're doing it to everybody. They knocked Justin Herbert out of the game yesterday. But that's still a game we could have won. But this is one that's frustrating because, yeah, I mean, we talked about it. When they get the ball back after we can't get the first down, we go for it on 4th and 5, Mahomes, he's missing some pieces. And I was worried about Xavier Worthy. He wasn't a factor in this game. Ironically, Juju got back in the end zone.
He did.
You know. But it's still, I mean, I get it. There's an aura of the Chiefs, but they're still, you know, Patrick Mahomes said it himself. They got a million things they got to improve on that team. They're 3-0. I'm not sweating the fact, a guy hit me up on the text and he goes, why aren't you freaking out? I thought we'd be 2-2. Now, again, losing to the Saints, we'll have a different conversation, you and I, on Monday. But I still think this is where we were going to be as we found our way with Kirk Cousins not being 100%, whatever his definition of 100% is.
Yeah, I'm more disappointed with the officiating and the no call. I think I'm more disappointed that we didn't execute when we had opportunities than I am in the loss. I just want us to have perspective real quick. We lost to arguably the best defense in the league in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, you know what right. They've held teams to? They held teams to 10, 6, and 10. That's what the Steelers have done the first 3 weeks. They are good on the defensive side of the football. And we just lost to the best quarterback in football and a Hall of Fame coach in Andy Reid. I'm not upset about the loss. It's how it took place and what should have probably happened that gave us an opportunity to maybe win this game. With that said, we said it to start the show, and I'll continue to say it. We don't make excuses. You can't. I'm not, and I won't start now. Here's the thing, though, Mike. On this 4th and inches call, after the game, Bijan Robinson was asked about that particular play call. And maybe we'll get more clarity when we're up there at Flyer Branch on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But we got to turn the page up there on Wednesday, and I know they'll want to talk about the Saints, and we will. But, Mike, Bijan said that Kirk is the guy that cheated into those and when we say cheated, he saw something, changed the play, and got them into that play.
Right. Thought we could get something on the left side.
Correct. And so Bijan said, look, you know, Kirk on those last two plays, those are the calls that he ultimately got us into. So if that was the case, then, you know, the quarterback saw something. It didn't play out. We'll take it. But here's Rod talking about the fourth and, you know, inches and the fact that we were going for it instead of kicking the football.
You know, we went with the fourth and one and the third and one up the middle. We had an outside play with these guys doing the zero pushers. If we can get that thing blocked, we can get around that corner and big things can be happening. But we didn't. So we didn't get that executed. I won't second guess the call. You know, they made a great play.
I can. I didn't like the lateral. But no. Why are we running right
east,
and left?
East-west. Why are you going east-west there, Carl?
Come on, man. Let's run straight up the field. Give me straight up the field. Hell, let Bijan, with his athleticism, Mike, jump over the pile like we used to see with Peyton, with the great sweetness.
Right. I mean, you give Algier, you know, they go on the right side with Algier. They couldn't get it. Like, I always feel in that situation, yes, you know, 1 yard, there's different schools of thought. Well, let's spread them out and maybe – in the old days, it was just, you're right, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Now you get different options, try to use your athleticism, use your athletes, get a mismatch. That didn't happen. You're right. They stretched it out east-west. They blow it up. We talk about Bolton coming in here like a bolt out of the blue because the other tight ends that were in that for that package just didn't account for him, and they were further out blocking a double team. It's just brutal because this is something, you know, we've talked about – and we got a bit – look – I'm happy with the defense. I'm not going to complain about a defense that's holding Patrick Mahomes to a bunch of field goals, you know, and two touchdowns. I can live with that. And, yes, hopefully we'll get better in the pass rush and Judon, and there'll be more impactful plays. And by the way, you know how you beat Derek Carr? You put pressure on him. We got to get some heat. I want to dial up some blitzes on Derek Carr next week like the Eagles were doing. But getting back to this game, it's still – I don't think Kirk Cousins is close to 100%. That's what makes the Monday night come from behind even more amazing, you know, what he was able to pull off. But he's still not there.
Yeah. Is that limiting us, or do you think the offensive linemen being out limited us? Because, see, yeah. I felt like when those guys went down, you had to take some plays out of your playbook.
Well, you think that because Newsail comes in and that he doesn't trust him?
Yes.
And that's it?
Yes.
That's it.
Absolutely. And listen, Zach Robinson's not going to ever say this, okay? But the reality is, it's just what it is, guys. When you have two guys who have been effective and you're running the football as good as we have been, and then those two guys go out simultaneously almost, like at the same time.
Right.
You then go, okay, I don't know if we can run that. I'm not sure we can run that. You know what? I got to trust some plays here, and let's see what happens. If you didn't watch this back last night or you were at the game, okay, like us, bottom line is if you go back and watch this, watch the pressure go up. The pressure rate goes up with Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, as soon as these guys leave. He's testing us. And all of a sudden, Kurt is picking himself up off the ground, Mike, a bunch of times.
Right. I know that we are going to get better offensively. I think that Zach, I think there's two things here. We already talked about Kirk Cousins. I think, guys, not everybody just comes in. Was Kyle Shanahan the boy wonder the first time he was the offensive coordinator? I don't know. Maybe he was, you know, back in D.C.
Yeah.
But it just seems like Zach Robinson, there are some growing pains with Zach Robinson. I'm not killing Zach Robinson. I just think that, you know, you said it. You can't blame Zach if Kurt sees something he thinks they can exploit and it blows up in their face. But you trust a veteran quarterback who's been doing it for 15 years to be able to have that option, I suppose, right?
Absolutely.
We'll ask Coach Rob about it on Wednesday.
By the way, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. Make sure that you check them out this season, guys. Coming up, we're going to hear from Coach Ra after the game last night, D. Alford as well. I am so ecstatic about our defense. I just am. After these first three games, I don't think any of you thought they'd be as good as they've been. And again, you had opportunities because, Mike, they were able to get off the field. And they were on the field a long time. So I just want to mention this because
time of possession.
Well, that and the number of plays. You know, when you go into the fourth quarter and they've run 63 snaps and you have run 29, your defense should be gassed. They should be exhausted. And, Mike, you get into the fourth quarter, and they're still making plays. So they ran, guys, on average, almost, you know, you're talking about 25 plays more, somewhere in between there, by the end of the game.
Because you talked about our terrible third down percentage. We're not driving. Our drives are not sustaining. So the defense, you know, you're right. You keep this up, the defense will be worn down by the end of the season. You've got to, the third downs have got to get better. The down and distance has got to be manageable. And that's where you're right. I mean, and it was like 2-1 until those final possessions in the, because I don't think we even touched the ball in the third quarter. It didn't seem like it.
No. And that was the thing. Even their first drive of the game, guys, that was a 17 play drive that resulted in an interception again. And we got to give some love to Justin, you know, for picking that ball off. But that was the long drive. They were on the clock. And I just feel like from a defensive standpoint, for what I thought would happen at the end of that game, they didn't cave. They kept trying and kept making plays and giving the offense opportunities, and the offense was not able to execute and get it done. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will take your phone calls coming up here. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit later. Do want to hear from you guys. Mike's been saying 2-2. I was more optimistic, right, about potentially being 3-1. But now, here's the deal. After this loss, and we'll continue to diagnose it, this next game becomes the biggest game of the season because it's a division game. Everybody was on the Saints the last few weeks, Mike. And Mike and I sat there yesterday. By the way, thanks to everybody that came out yesterday, the Signia, the Nest. It was a cool spot.
What a vibe. What a cool time.
It was great, man. We'll do some more stuff up there. But everybody had stopped by and said hello. But we were sitting there watching that Saints game play out because they were on a 1 o'clock window. And we kept looking at each other like, they should be up more in this game. And to be quite honest with you, they blew that opportunity yesterday against the Eagles. They blew it.
Yeah, man. And the Eagles, like Sirianni, it's one of those games. Everybody in the bar was joking around, this is the game to get you fired. Because, you know, him not taking points, not taking a field goal early that was a manageable, then later going for a 60-yarder. So no rhyme or reason to what he's doing. And then and Dallas got it. Who was it? Devontae Smith gets knocked out in a total cheap shot. He's getting stood up by the linebackers and the safeties, and all of a sudden the defensive lineman just comes in and blindsides him.
It was dirty.
That should be $100,000.
It was dirty.
That's, if you want to really send a message around the league, that's at least, you know, I don't know, 50, 75, whatever. Speaking of the league, you and I were talking about this earlier. Just real quick, some clarification on this. You had the playoffs in 19 with the Rams. Remember, the Rams came here and lost to the Patriots. They got here because of the no call on the pass interference in New Orleans.
Thank
in the
goodness.
Super Bowl.
Thank
they
goodness.
Win in overtime. So the NFL realizes the optics on this are terrible. Everyone's freaking out. And so basically, in a political move, they go, all right, well, we're going to give you offensive, defensive pass interference. And then they took it away. I found the article from Sports Illustrated, Carl, from 2020. The quote from Rich McKay: nobody is putting forward the pass interference review again, so that dies a natural death. Quote, in my opinion, we were trying to apply something that we've always been fearful of. We didn't know what the total outcome would be, but we were always fearful of putting a totally subjective play into replay.
Mm.
Well, yes, it's a subjective play that affects the freaking game, and if it is a subjective play that the ref may screw up to the letter of the law, shouldn't you have the option to review it?
You should.
And the refs might not like it, just like Major League Baseball umpires, you know, they get in a little hissy fit when they've got a review. Get it right. Fans, whether it's fantasy football, whether it's guys betting billions of dollars on these games now that the NFL's in bed with the casinos, get it freaking right. And you took this thing away. It was, you know, who thought it, what does it matter? An extra 2 or 3 minutes of my football game is ruined because I'm the biggest call of the game is being reviewed? I don't get this. This is the stuff that Rich McKay and the competition committee drives me crazy. There was no reason for them to take that rule out. And it's gone, so we get hosed last night. And it affects games every week.
It does. And the irony to me is last week when I was saying to people, that was a questionable call against the Bengals, man. And everybody was like, it was obvious.
Right.
And I said, okay. This was obvious.
Right.
Help me. Help me. I mean, this is what I was saying last week when I said, you know, Chiefs got a little help with the referees. Oh, they were at home. What do you expect? They were on the road last night. Help me.
We're the home team. You know, this is Kirk Cousins, a pretty nice story. You know, guy, you know, coming back from an injury. And look, Pitts has yet to really establish himself, save the one Pro Bowl season year one. But still, that's what I've heard today, the excuse. Well, we're not an elite team yet. Only the elite teams
that's
get the crowds.
That's
crap. Guys, the Chiefs got one. It's as clear as day. The video, everyone's seen it. I mean, you can't defend it. You can't argue against it. It's self-explanatory. But it's the things about the NFL like that. And you know me, and it just drives me nuts. There's no accountability with the referees. They say there is, and they say there's more crews than there are games, and they can move guys in and out. Then do it. Get the guy who blew that out of the freaking game. He can go back to being a school principal or an attorney or whatever he does for his real job.
If it's a call in the first quarter, it's a call in the fourth quarter. That's it. We've got tickets for you to go check out Metallica. Their M72 World Tour is coming with Pantera, Suicidal Tendencies. Stay tuned. We're going to give you a chance to win those coming up. When we come back, what did Coach Ross say after the game? You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons lose 22-17. So much to talk about when it comes to this game and the frustration level that came with how this game ended for us having opportunities on offense and not being able to come up with anything. You know, we talked about the run game, and there is some good news. Caleb McGarry is listed as day-to-day. This news just coming down. And I just put it back out there to put him up. See, Dukes.
MCL sprain, they said?
Well, he's listed as day-to-day, which is better than him being out for any significant amount of time. And Dahlman is getting more test run as we speak, probably, or maybe they know by now. But it was McGarry with a knee injury, and he underwent further testing today, but they're saying he's day-to-day, which means, guys, again, he feels fine by the end of the week. He's probably playing in the Saints game.
Right.
Dahlman, we're waiting to hear what the latest is with him.
High ankle sprain with him, if that's what was reported. You saw with Justin Herbert how difficult that can be, and obviously, you know, you see all these dudes. You know, it's when, Carl, they got enough got enough apparatus on your knees, obviously save your knees, but you know, you can't all that leverage, and you can't move with that. You know, in the trenches, you can't do it.
So they're doing an MRI on him. We're talking about Drew Dahlman. That's our center, and he is expected to miss time. We just don't know how much that time is going to be. So we'll continue to wait and hear some news as we go along today. That is an update on our O-line. As far as last night, after the game, I do want you guys to hear what our head coach, Raheem Morris, had to say to our Dave Archer.
Bitter pill to swallow, Raheem. You had him right where you wanted him. You played him to a standstill, just couldn't quite get it done at the end.
You know, we got to run the ball better on offense. We got to be able to stop the run better on defense. And there's a lot of things you can clean up. And there's no such thing as really going to play a guy and feeling good about it unless you win. And you had an opportunity to win that game, and we didn't. Came up short.
Patrick seemed to do a really good job of taking what you guys were giving him underneath, but you were able to start taking some of that stuff away in the second half.
You know, that's Patrick Mahomes. He's going to make the right decisions. He's going to go through his progressions. He's going to exhaust his progressions. He's going to know when to use his feet. And the guys did a nice enough job in order to stop the pass and do some of those things and slow him down. They were able to run the football, which we should not allow them to do, and we got to go clean those things up and do a better job at that.
Raheem, tell me about battling through the injuries. You lose Caleb McGarry, goes down. You lose your center in Drew Dahlman. Newsel steps in, does a nice job. Storm Norton steps in, but still, they were really coming with a lot of pressure in the game.
You know, that doesn't matter. Nobody cares. We won't make those excuses. The next guy in, I got a lot of faith in, I got a lot of belief in, and it's our job to go out there and execute and win.
All right, tell me about the end of the football game. Got a chance there at the end. You're down there twice. I thought you got a pass interference call that didn't happen on Pitts in the end zone. That's not for you to comment on. That's for me to say. But in that last drive, try to run at him a couple of times on fourth and one, for third and one and fourth and one. You decided to go wide on fourth down.
You know, we went with the fourth and one and the third and one up the middle. We had an outside play with these guys doing the zero pushers. If we can get that thing blocked, we can get around that corner and big things can be happening. But we didn't, so we didn't get that executed. I won't second guess the call. You know, they made a great play.
All right, you got New Orleans coming in here. New Orleans lost this this weekend as well. Divisional game. You got to flip the script pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, it's our job to control our own destiny. And with the South coming in, it's a big job for us.
He said nobody cares. And that is Raheem Morris. He's not lying. Nobody does care. Outside of Atlanta, nobody cares that we lost two offensive linemen in the heat of battle. And guess what? Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. So I respect his answer, but it did hamper our offense's ability to do some of the things that we're really good at, like running the football. Protection strategy, Mike, and protection plans as far as some of these passes that you wanted to attempt in the second half. I hear Raheem, but this is my thing about this next man up thing, by the way, and I've said this to Mike many times. Everybody always says that, next man up. If the next man up was that damn good, he'd be the starter. Okay, it's always a drop-off, usually when you talk about injuries. This is why guys start and guys don't. So it does matter, but Raheem is right. Man, Saints aren't going to come in here and feel sorry for us on Sunday whatsoever, Mike.
Yeah, and I get it. He's old school. You can't comment on – you guys know. They'll find you up the yin-yang. He doesn't want to lose his – he said he likes his money. He don't want to lose six figures of NFL fines after everything that we talked about with the no-call and the Pitts PI. But, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I will say this, though. I thought of all the things, you know, I've gotten on Fontenot about, I think we've probably in a better position. Last year we had four of the offensive linemen go down, and we were able to still function. And you couldn't say that about us, you know, in previous teams. You're going back to Dimitrov. We do have good depth. Like, Storm Norton is a good player. He certainly picked up for McGarry last year when he was out. Not as sold on Newsile. Am I butchering this name, Chris? Newsel. I've heard Newsile. Is hopefully he'll maybe create better chemistry with Cousins, because we've always seen where that can go, Carl, when the quarterback doesn't feel comfortable with the snap. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable with Neusel as far as, you know, that play that he did tweak to get the run to the left side. But as you said, you hate the fact you're going east-west. Raheem wants to be – we want to be physical. You know, not fast and physical, but we want to be physical.
Sure.
And you should be able to get a yard. Look, at the end of the day, you know, we can joke around about the NFL. It's about nutting up. It's about doing your work. Man up, Carl. Go get that yard. Right? Remember Al Pacino? And he gave us those inches and give us that yard. We couldn't get it. Two cracks at 1 yard. So that's on you. And as he said to start this conversation, nobody gives a flip about the injuries. But if they were that good, they'd be starting somewhere else.
Let's hear from D. Alford. It's Dukes and Bell giving you as much perspective on last night's loss to the Chiefs as we possibly can. Coming up, we'll hand out some game balls and no balls as well. We also will go around the NFL. There were huge upsets yesterday. It was just one of those days where around the league you looked and you went, oh, I didn't think they were supposed to win. That's what makes it interesting about this league. But here is D. Alford after the game with our own Dave Archer.
D, tell me about the challenge that this was. Super Bowl champs, Patrick Mahomes, a lot of stuff surrounds that, the lore of that. But you guys went out and played pretty solidly.
It was a tough challenge, you know, knowing coming in, going against a guy like Pat Mahomes. You know, he's going to extend plays. He's a playmaker, you know, a great quarterback in this league. So just going against a guy like him, it's tough. Like you said, we played solid, you know, always room for improvement. You know, a couple mistakes, you know, in the back end. But we can work on that and continue to grow from this game.
What was Jerry's message? They've got some really quick receivers. They've got some bigger guys. Tell me about the challenge. You talked about extending plays. Just those guys matching up with Worthy and Rice and those guys.
Like them, the guys you just named, you know, they're pretty fast. And just going against those guys, you know, you got to kind of play top down, get your hands on when you can. And like I said, the quarterback like to extend plays. So you just got to be sticky in the back end. But it's tough going up against those guys, you know, with a quarterback like Mahomes, he can throw out quick screens and let those guys get, you know, yak yardage, you know, after the catch and stuff like that. But it was a great challenge, man. Like, as a back end, as a defense, as a team in general, we just got to continue to grow from this game. It's a lot of positives, you know, we can take from this game.
I thought you guys did a really good job on that perimeter throw. That's our extension of the run game, trying to get those guys the ball on the run, leverage tackling. Talk a little bit about that. Let the fan, kind of give the fan an idea of what you guys are trying to do to kind of hem a guy in one of those screen plays.
Yeah, and words, you know, Coach Late, you know, stand and shoot, which means if I'm outside, keep my outside leverage, make the receiver or the running back turn it back in, you know, to the posse, everybody running to the ball. So we try to emphasize that at practice, you know, when we run to the ball, just, you know, keeping the shoot, making guys cut back, you know, take your shot, make your tackle when you can.
You guys did a really good job once again in the red zone, and they got in a couple of times, but as many times as they had the football. Tell me about that. Time of possession has been brutal for you guys defensively the first 3 weeks of the season. Each team has held the ball 34-plus minutes in a game. What is that doing to you guys? Are you feeling that on the field late in football games?
I wouldn't necessarily say we're feeling it, because at the end of the day, we, no matter if you have it for 10 seconds, 12 seconds, we got to continue to play during the down. You know, we've been going against a lot of, you know, good quarterbacks who can scramble and get out the pocket. It, find empty holes in the, you know, in the pass rush and scramble and extend plays. Other than that, I feel like as a secondary, you got to continue, you know, to cover the guys no matter how long it is.
All right, D. Saints are coming in. You know, you're one of your division rivals. They lost today to the Eagles, a team you beat last weekend. Tell me about the mindset of getting ready for the Saints.
You know, like Coach Raw always say, we got to have the mindset to outrun the South. So, you know, we can watch film, grow from this game right here, and get ready to, you know, for New Orleans to come in and get this win for the city.
All right, my man. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir.
To Arch's point, and D. Alford, like, look, we got to continue to play, and this is where I give our defense a lot of credit. They had, at the end of the game, 72 plays. So they had ran 72. We only ran 56. That's 24 more plays on offense that they ran that we didn't. That's 24 more plays, Mike. Our defense was on the field.
Right.
And our offense wasn't. So for what we got out of our D last night, they played a hell of a game.
Yeah, at one point it was about 16 more minutes time of possession until you got into the final of the fourth quarter when we did have a few possessions. But you're right, it wound up being just over 10 minutes more time of possession. But it just didn't seem like the third quarter specifically, because, again, you had the interception. Remember that one? You had the interception. You had a three and out. So you're not sustaining the drives. And if you missed it earlier, we are terrible on third down. That's got to get right. The third down performance has been brutal. I do feel that, again, the only reason I'm not going mental on this is because Kirk Cousins is still not 100%. 100% of what Kirk Cousins was before he had the Achilles injury. How about that?
No, that's fair.
And I think, Zach, and I do think, look, I think you watch any NFL game, Carl, you're going to have issues with the play calling, right, at one point in the game. I'm still trying to figure out sometimes how Zach Robinson sees the flow of the game. Not saying it's right or wrong. Some things I don't like. Some things I think there's room for improvement, but I think he's also dealing with a little bit of a handicap, knowing that Cousins can't do everything he needs to do right now, even though they won't admit it.
The thing that I thought they didn't do that I wish they would have, and we'll talk to Coach Ra on Wednesday. Mike, it is – I said we needed to start with urgency, and they go down and drive. That first drive was like, okay. But I also thought, Mike, the tempo was not there last night. And I would like to see them do a little bit more of that. You know, for years we talked about this with Matt Ryan. And
he's always so comfortable in it.
Yeah. Well, you saw it at the end of the Eagles game. Well, what was that with Kirk Cousins? Now, you say, all right, well, the Eagles, were they in prevent? Were they this or that? That's not what you dictated. Who gives a crap what they're doing? So you come out, Mike, and I would have liked to have seen more tempo. The first drive, they had that. It was this. They were moving. And then we go score, and you go, okay, here, we come to play. But we didn't have that the rest of the game. Go look at our possessions, guys. So that is something that is lacking. I don't necessarily know if that's just play calling or if the tempo of how we're moving will get us going offensively and also help Kirk Cousins.
I'm not sure if Zach scripts his plays because, you know, we go 70 yards on that first drive. It was perfect. Drake London, we were talking about, remember our keys to victory? Pitts gets in the end zone. Well, Pitts did get in the end zone.
He did.
They just mugged him.
Bijan
red zone touchdown for Bijan. And Drake continues to be involved in another touchdown. But, you know, we go down the field 70 yards, and then it was a punt. Then we had a nice 13-play 70. It was a 5-play 70-yard drive, touchdown. That was a quick one, 2 minutes. To your point, there was a little bit of urgency there. So I just felt that, you know, and the defense holding these guys to field goals, it's frustrating. This game was there. You needed two plays to be made. Two more plays needed to be made. We win this football game. But you can say that about almost everybody in the NFL this week.
No, that's what's crazy about it.
With the exception maybe Seattle and Miami, that was pretty much one-sided.
Yeah, that was a blowout. But even the Eagles, you know, Saints game, right. that was two plays. One play, it could go either way.
But guys are asking me, saying, what would you have them do in the short yardage? I just said, because Cousins can't do the things right now because of the Achilles, you can't expect him to do a quarterback sneak and take that punishment. Why can't you put Algier or Bijan under center? You know, call it Wild B, you know, call it the hot dog, Bijan Mustardson, whatever you want to do.
Right.
But I'm saying, come up with a little imagination. I mean, and I get it. Nobody else in the league is trying to emulate what the Eagles do. I think that's, you know, that's hubris. That's ego. Nobody else wants to try to do it. Yes, it's a specific. You tell me you can't find five guys and a dude, a big slob to shove somebody from behind? That's like reinventing the wheel, Carl, to come up with our own version of that?
All I want to do is just hand it off and let your best players go. Like, I just feel like running right or left, east, west, whatever. You're making the problem worse. I need a yard. I'm like, I need 6 inches.
Right.
Just let my best player run the football. And if I don't get it, I can live with that. All right. We're coming back. We're going to go around the league. There were some surprises yesterday. We'll hand out some game balls and no balls as well on a big, big show. It's a Monday, Falcons Monday.